ready for more pain, Keith?
Oh, my God. Bring it on. At this point, it all just kind of blends together, doesn't it?
What's wrong with this team?
Team stinks.
Is that what it is?
I think it's just such an obvious question.
Why even ask it?
They're not good at baseball. They go through stretches where they can't hit. Then they can't pitch. The starters either stink or hurt or get taken out early.
We suck right now.
Yeah. Well, Ref Snyder.
Yeah, Ref Snyder nailed it.
That's it. All right, we suck right now.
We can go home.
You might want to take away the right now. Like, Ref Snyder's like making it specific to like this time period.
Yeah.
I would say overall,
just not
been a mess.
Very good baseball team. You kind of felt like it was coming the whole night last night.
They're
winning, but you never felt comfortable.
Right.
Even when Chapman's going into the game late, and he's been awesome this year. And I don't really have a lot of specific nitpicks for Cora last night. I got plenty big picture nitpicks for Cora, but last night it's like you go to your closer, you're up one. I mean, I don't really want to second guess him.
No, that should be a game where you eke by, you win 1-0, get out of there.
But you never feel good watching them, and you get the sense they just never feel comfortable in any of these games. They can't hit, they're running into outs. Marcelo Meyer was out by a mile going second to third last night with, I think, one out. Were there zero outs when he tried to advance? I don't remember. All right, I'm sorry. He tried to advance after the pop fly, and then he got thrown out going to third. So that was the second out of the inning.
Yep.
And you're like, they're playing sloppy baseball. They're playing bad baseball. You get the sense they're pressing, which is obvious because they've been underachieving. And at what point do you just look up and go, this is what they are, and this is what they're going to be.
We're in it.
It's wildly disappointing. Yeah, no, I think we're in it. I think you're right.
We are in it, and it's a variety of different ways, like we said, but for them to lose. And, like, there's nothing that stands out. You're like, well, at least they have this, right? Like, at least they have, like, I thought it would be maybe Garrett Crochet, but we're seeing for a variety of reasons that's not even good enough. Then you're like, all right, well, guys, you know, you have a couple guys in your lineup that can maybe carry you. Well, one of those guys is now out for maybe 10 weeks. And then, you know, one guy can only do so much, right? In Rafael Devers' case, you know, he can only do so much when the leadoff guy is not getting on base. And actually, hell, not even Durant's fault. Over the weekend, he was getting on base, and they still weren't getting him home. And then it really falls off a cliff after Devers. Now, Meyer is definitely promising. I'm looking forward to the Meyer at bats. Two more hits last night, so that's good.
And a walk. He was on base three times.
Yeah. So, like, you'll take that. But, like, he just got brought up and really – I mean, if he could even give you Bregman's production, you know, that's a win. So you're not adding to it. Like,
you're going to
be a massive win,
right?
That's what I'm saying. But
even if you come out way in front. Even if you come out way in front and he matches Bregman, you're still only getting that production. And I don't even think he's going to do that. You'd be lucky if he did that.
No.
So, and I don't want to blame injuries. Like, they were already
they were already in this.
With Alex Bregman. But, yeah, I mean, how much more of this can you take as Red Sox fans? And how much more of this is the team going to put up with? Meaning ownership, Breslow, et cetera. You guys can jump in. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe on a short program today, Keefe.
Yeah, because we got more Red Sox baseball, baby.
We're only going a little bit past noon. Early game today, 1:10 is first pitch. Pre-game with Joe Weil starts at 12:10. Keefe and I going to hang out for a little bit of pre-game
today. Bayo day. You know what they say about Bayo?
I forget. Is he good or bad in day
horrible
games?
Horrible during
the day games where he struggles.
Blows during the day. He's like the worst day pitcher ever.
What do you think that is?
I think his ERA is like, is it two runs higher during the day? I'll double check.
You think he just needs to sleep? You think that's what it is?
Yeah, he's a creature of habit.
We all have friends like that who just are like, you know, they're a mess in the morning. They just can't handle it. They need a little extra sleep.
Nick has a vampire theory.
Oh?
That he's a vampire.
What's this now?
Well, he's horrible during the day, but he's actually a good pitcher at night.
So he's kind of worried about the sun. He's going to be protective about the sun. You don't want to be in the sun too long, so you got a quick pitch. Whereas at night, you're like, that's your natural habitat. Like an owl.
Yeah.
Right.
Like an owl.
Yeah, sure.
Nocturnal is what you're saying.
Maybe he's nocturnal because he stinks during the day.
Okay.
I got another couple of stats for you. Now, last night doesn't take into account because it was not a one-run game because Yelich walks it off and ends up being a four-run game, but it was extra innings.
Mm-hmm.
So close games. How about one-run games? They've played 21-run games so far this year.
Okay.
Do you want to take a stab at what their record is during those games?
Man, so that's a high percentage of your games. We're what, like 50-plus games into the year?
Like Rod Mayo said, we play a lot of close games.
We played a lot so I played 57 games. 20 of them were one-run games. I'm going to guess those were a coin toss, Keith. They're 10-10.
No, they are 6-14.
Thank you, Gerard.
They're surprisingly in extra inning games, which, again, some may be of the one-run variety, some might not be.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually an even 4-4.
Oh.
So when they go to extras,
good.
That's a legit coin flip.
when you
legit coin
do
flip.
Not let the Red Sox Sox get to extras.
Yep, yep.
I mean, besides last night.
And then they have a winning record in blowouts. Blowouts would be considered five runs or more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, it's funny because you look at where they rank in runs scored. Like, they're pretty high in the league. But they have a bunch of these games where they get 10 or 12 or 13 runs. So it's like those games they kind of run away with. And then it's like a guy who averages 15 points a game, but he only scores like 25 or 5. Like, you're like, you never actually score 15, but you either, it's kind of high or low. And that's sort of what this Red Sox offense has been.
So put another way, because we were talking about this before the show, they're plus 13 in run differential. You look at that and you go,
should be above 500.
Well, and just, okay, they're underachieving right now, but good things should be in store, right? That's a predictive number. That's not necessarily to say they're better than they are, but that's to say over the next 20 games, 50 games, whatever, the numbers should start to correct over a larger sample size. They're plus 13. They're one of only seven teams in the AL with a positive scoring differential, and obviously going into last night, it was higher before they got smoked on the Grand Slam in extras. But what you just said, Keith, is what I think it is. I mean, I'd call them front runners, but they're three games under 500, and they're not very good.
No.
They're in fourth place in the division. That really snuck up on
me. And it's not even that good of a division.
No.
Right? Like, I think at the beginning of the year, you might have been like, oh, that's not bad. Like, the division's tough. Like, they might have a bunch of playoff teams.
There's
like,
only one team with a winning record in the division. Yeah. Tampa's 27 and 27.
Yeah. They're the AFC East.
They are behind the Blue Jays, although the standings I'm looking at are odd. The Blue Jays are 8 games out. The Red Sox are 8.5 games out.
Odd
27
standings?
And 30. Well, for some reason.
What standings are you looking at?
ESPN. For some reason. Oh, I have it in order of run differential. That's
right.
Oh,
my
Sorry.
God.
But they're in fourth place in the division. They're 3.5 out in the wild card. I call them front runners, but they're not
winning enough games
to be front runners, but they only win in these blowouts, Keith,
right.
Which speaks to.
No clutch.
Well, a team that's not clutch or a team that's poorly managed.
Yeah, you know, I think that this year they have been.
That's the one run, the record in one run games. Maybe it's a little bit fluky. Maybe it'll correct over time. But I also think that's a manager stat. I mean, that's an Alex Cora stat. Is
well,
what
a little
that
off
is.
That. I believe that was the Brewers' third comeback win yesterday. They were 2-20 something when they didn't score first, and the Red Sox blew that in the ninth inning.
Mm. So their record in one run games in 2018. Was 25-14.
Okay.
So, like, you're not going to get that.
No.
But, like, to your point, maybe you're a little bit closer to 500 in those games. And if that was the case, that means four extra wins. You do the math. Or you're not great, but you're above 500. Like, if you're at least kind of breaking even on those. You know, and then if you have a special season where you do have a lot of luck going your way, then maybe you do have a big-time record like they did in 2018. You know, maybe you have more walk-offs, or maybe you just have more dominant bullpen or things like that would lead to a better record in one-run games. But right now, it is a mess.
So you can climb board, 617-779-7937. That's your phone and text number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch.
I got the Bayo numbers, too.
Oh, good. And you can watch on YouTube, another place to watch and chat. At YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI. Give me the Bayo numbers.
All right, at nighttime, when the kids are in bed.
Yeah, when the vampires can play, when they can roam.
When they can come out safely.
Uh-huh.
Brian Bayo is 21-18 with a 3.86 ERA.
Pretty nice.
Yes.
I mean, you know, not great, but good.
During the day.
Okay.
9-10 with a 5.51 ERA.
Ew.
Yeah.
He sucks. Look, I just assumed he needed his sleep, but... you know,
something's up with that.
A little nappy poo or something.
That's 27 games during the day, 51 at night.
I think Nick's on to something with the vampire.
Vampire Bayo. So what to expect today? I would think bad.
Well, I think
I would
not.
I would say bad.
I think not good is what to expect.
I kind of like the Brew Crew today.
Based on those numbers. Yeah. By the way, Cotillo had a good tweet last night.
Freddie Peralta's been really good, too, for the on the other side.
Oh.
Sometimes the Sox are going to hit him because they can't hit anybody with over a 5 ERA, but they...
Oh, that's true. Maybe they
hit the good pitchers.
Smack him around.
Cotillo had a good tweet last night after the game. He said, noon local game tomorrow. It's,
oh, my God. That's right.
1:10 here, but noontime.
That is early.
In Milwaukee.
Oh, Bayo's
way too early for a vampire.
Way too early for Bayo.
Oh, yeah, it's even earlier than we even realized.
Noon?
Noon local time.
What is this, Wisconsin-Nebraska, the Big Ten kickoff game?
It makes it hard to drop the hammer in some way with the shakeup. But you have to wonder about the off day Thursday tomorrow.
What hammer's going to be dropped?
This isn't informed, just guessing. He says, Cora isn't in jeopardy now. Let's
wait, hold on a second.
That word's doing a lot of work to me.
Hold on.
This isn't informed, just guessing. Alex Cora isn't in jeopardy now.
Wow.
But you wonder if there's something. Roman? Question mark? Big cut? Question mark? A coach? That could happen before Atlanta on Fridays.
All of the above?
So, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
What do we think is going on? And what do we think of that line? Cora isn't in jeopardy now.
I'm surprised that that's even a thing. Like, you know, sort of like when we talked about yesterday when Sham Sharania brought up Jaylen Brown's name. You're like, what? Jaylen Brown? And they're like, well, he probably won't get traded or whatever. Right. And you're like, all right, you're still talking about him, though. You're still putting it out there.
You're the one bringing him up, Shams.
So I did not consider that as an option. And I'm not telling you that it would be the worst idea in the world, but I didn't see that coming. And part of it is I just think they love him so much, meaning like Henry and Werner, the decision makers. I think they like Cora so much. They've invested a ton of money into Cora. A ton of money. He's got a lot of years left. Mm. So I don't necessarily see that happening.
Can I just bring this up? And this was emailed to me. Is it really that much money?
For a manager, it is.
Well, it is. But, yeah. I mean, how much is Yoshida making to just go sit somewhere? How much was Sale making to go pitch for Atlanta last year? So, I mean, they have shown a propensity to eat money.
Yeah, which I'm sure they love.
But, you know, it is a lot of money for a manager. He's the second highest paid manager in the sport, $7+ million
all right,
a year,
so
whatever
are you more
it is.
Likely to, so how many years does he have left on his deal? Like,
this is the first of a 3-year extension, I think. So yeah. He's got this year, next year, and the year after.
All right. So are you more likely to eat that money or Trevor Story's $50 million
I mean,
plus whatever he's making this year? So like $70 million. Because if you're talking big time cuts, which you don't really see a lot in baseball, I mean, well, DFA or whatever, but wouldn't Trevor Story be the one that would get everybody's attention?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's not another guy on the team that you'd either want to cut or if you did would have any kind of impact. Like, oh, they just traded Sean Newcomb. Okay. Great. Like, Trevor Story saying see you later and then putting Meyer at short and be like, you're our
here's
shortstop
what we're doing,
for
yeah.
Like for until you can't do it, you're our shortstop for the rest of time. So I mean that's something I think they could consider. But out of those three options right now, call up Roman Anthony, fire Alex Cora, cut Trevor Story, I feel like it's bring up Roman Anthony is the most obvious, safest one.
Me too. And I think they should do that. If they don't do that, Keith, we may need to take matters into our own hands.
Go get him.
We may need to go back to Worcester.
Yep. Literally drive him to Fenway.
We may need to go.
People
get
say
him
that a lot.
And bring him from Worcester.
That's fine with me.
To the Boston Red Sox.
You see what he did last night?
We'll take. Oh yeah, just another home run. Ho hum.
Just another screamer, like 180 off the bat.
Well, I was gonna say, no offense to Mark at Medford, but
he
I
does
did.
Not like
I
those
did
stats.
See the exit velo. Exit velo.
Well, velo for you, velo for me.
Off the bat, and yeah. It was 115 or something like that. Yeah, we hit
an absolute rocket.
If the Red Sox can't figure it out on the off day, we may need to take matters into our own hands.
That's what
we may
need to take.
A little foreshadowing there. My guess, the simplest thing they do, and
Roman Holiday.
Well, no, I think that would be easy, but obviously something's standing in the way of that. They're manipulating his service time in some way, shape, or form. The deadline is passed on the seventh year of control, right? Like they're in the clear with that. Meyer's up here. Prospects all over baseball are up. There is still a way that he could shave that year back off if he finishes first or second rookie of the year. I didn't realize this. I was reading about this last night. And this has happened with a number of prospects. Harris with Atlanta won rookie of the year. There were a few other players off the top of my head. I'm trying to remember who they were.
I finished think Adley first or second. Was the other one.
Yeah, Rutschman might have been one of them. First or second in rookie of the year voting, even if you're after the deadline, you can still get that year back towards free agency. And so I'm sure they're playing around with that in some way, shape, or form. The easy one, I bet it doesn't make much of a difference, but it's easy. Fire the hitting coach. You know, now what?
But that does nothing.
I don't think it does anything.
That does
but,
nothing.
But I also don't really think he's doing anything positively or negatively. I think it's more about the players.
Yeah.
But maybe you mix up the messaging. They're probably not firing Cora. They should probably look at firing Cora, but they're probably
but
not going
to fire
him.
But this goes back to the whole thing.
Doesn't look like they're calling up Roman Anthony. So
does it change their philosophy at the plate, though? If you fire the hitting coach, you're still doing the nonsense.
No, but
Jim
maybe,
Rice is on the other night.
But maybe there's a difference in
maybe
messaging.
He can be the hitting coach.
I don't think the hitting coach does much either way.
Yeah.
So fire the guy.
All right.
I wasn't beating the drum for this a couple of weeks ago, but you have to do something. You have to do something.
Doing nothing, not an option.
No.
Yeah, so I think the obvious thing would be call up Roman Anthony, give that a couple of games. You know, Marcelo Meyer's been up, and he's been doing the best he can, but they're still losing with him up there. So if that happens with Roman Anthony, then I think you have to go to the next more drastic thing, which is either you reassigning Trevor Story. I'd be surprised about the Cora thing. I'm shocked that Cotillo even wrote that. Do you think that's in play?
Cora isn't in jeopardy now. I mean, what does that even mean?
That was Ref Snyder. We suck right now.
Does that mean next year? Does that mean the offseason? Does that mean the All-Star break? What does that mean?
Would you bet that Cora makes it through the year?
Yes.
Yeah, so would I.
I would wager on that.
I never
that.
Even thought but it'd Keith, be on the board.
Keith, I lose bets like you
True.
Read.
Flying out of my wallet.
I lose so many bets. Yeah. That doesn't even mean anything.
No, I know. Well, I'm just asking because I never even considered that as an option. And maybe I should have. You know, maybe other teams. Because he has more of a track record than Gerard Mayo or Joe Mazzulla does.
The way the team's playing, we can talk about the manager. The way he's handling Devers is fireable. That is fireable to me.
Oh, he's been bad. The way Cora all year.
The
been
way
bad.
He's letting Devers act like just a prima donna to the point where the GM had to run downstairs and meet with him, and the owner had to fly halfway across the country to go meet with him. That's fireable. That's insubordinate.
Oh yeah,
that's fireable. So forget just how the team's doing on the field. The way he's handling Devers, it should have his job in jeopardy, but if you're asking me, do I expect him to get fired tomorrow or even this year? No, I don't.
And I feel like the last two games they won, he wasn't even here.
That's true.
It's also not working in his favor.
That's true.
How much better they looked the two games he was gone.
It's a good point.
So, yeah, it's a disaster. I feel like Roman Anthony is the next obvious thing. It's frustrating that he hasn't been called up yet. There's just been screaming for a spark, screaming for a better bat in the lineup, which... Man, as soon as you take Bregman out, it looks like a house of cards. The thing is...
Yeah, you don't want to look at the lineup today.
It's probably already out, right?
They just put it out.
Did they?
Yeah, it's kind of brutal.
Well, I mean...
Lineup's out?
What do you mean? It's brutal every day.
Lineup is out.
Oh, you got Connor Wong hitting fourth? What do we got?
No, they have Connor Wong hitting eighth.
All right, so he's just in the lineup. That's bad.
Connor
enough.
Wong being in the lineup is a shame.
What do we got?
I got it.
Okay.
Let's see. Today, Jaren Duran leading off, Rafael Devers hitting second.
Good start. That's a good start.
Willy Abreu batting third.
I mean, I don't love that, but keep going.
Marcelo Meyer hitting cleanup.
Good.
Our guy.
Yeah.
We love him. Let's ease him in.
No, let's
move. You need to save the season, Marcelo. No,
ping pong him between third and short and hit him cleanup, just like you were doing with Christian Campbell. I worked out so well with Christian Campbell.
That's true.
Let's do that.
Batting fifth, Nick Sogard.
Where's he playing?
This is the Red Sox lineup or the Worcester lineup?
These are the Blue Sox.
Sogard in first base.
First base. Okay,
Batting six, the shortstop. Oh, for his last 100, Trevor Story.
Yeah, but if you got 15 hits in a row and then went 0 for 99.
Batting seventh at second base. Also an automatic out, David Hamilton.
Seventh.
Batting eighth, your backstop. 0 for 200, Connor Wong.
No extra base hits.
And
four
batting
RBIs.
Ninth. It's center field. Just a glove. Sadon Rafaela. I would take Brewers run line today. That lineup is the pits.
I thought about Sox plus 105 last night. I didn't bet it. Thank
it's insane.
God. That's
Trevor Story hitting
gross.
Six. Sogard, Story, Hamilton, Wong.
So you can just turn off innings one through through four, basically.
You see the guy?
Wake me up when Devers or Meyer is up.
See the guy who tweeted at me last night? Maybe you were on it as well.
What'd he say?
He's like, I've been betting against Trevor Story. I'm betting under hits for Trevor Story for the last month.
Guy must be a millionaire.
Like, he's like, it's free money. I'm like, where was the heads up on this bet?
That guy is raking it in right now.
Where
it's
was
like the guy's betting against Angel Reese to make her first basket.
Oh, here you go.
That's just good sound advice.
Zapfire 0810. Betting the under on hits for Trevor Story has been free money for the last month, let me tell you. No, you should have told me. I would have been betting this.
Oh, my God.
I
under on Story
this.
Hits?
Yeah, let's get in.
That's the safest bet ever as he grounds out to short every time.
What do you think?
Or strikes out. He also strikes out quite
Sucker's
a bit.
Bet buying opportunity.
I think it's a buying opportunity.
I wonder if we missed the window.
No, you got to do it now until before he gets DFA'd.
That's a good point.
While he's here. You got to pounce on this opportunity.
All right. What are we doing with the baseball team? How much more of this can you take?
Sogard, Story, Hamilton, Wong, Rafaela.
How much more of that can you take, Red Sox fans? How much more
I'm
of
done,
this do we
I'm
have to watch
that.
Before Roman Anthony's here and the manager's fired? 617-779-7937. How long is the leash for Alex Cora? We'll get to that.
Call Roman up, man. Call Roman up. It really just comes down to that, man. Call Roman up or you're not serious. Call Roman up or you're content to lose. You're going to lose again and again and again. Bring Roman up and be a real f***ing team.
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
It's our guy Hogdale. He gets it, Keith.
Yeah, Hogdale's all over it.
call them up or you're not a real team.
You're not a real team. You're not serious about this.
You're not a serious baseball team until you call up the top prospect in baseball. You can't score runs.
Your team stinks. You have the best prospect in baseball. We can't overemphasize that. He's not the best prospect on the in the team, which is still one thing that he's won
that guy.
He's
a pitcher or a hitter, though?
No, he hits.
Oh, he hits.
He hits rocket ships into the outfield at like 120 miles an hour off the bat.
Not like a slap-hitting singles guy.
No, he hits bombs.
Okay.
He hits moonshots.
And you could use that.
Sure, you could.
Interesting.
Yeah, you scored one run yesterday, and you're trotting out a lineup today that has five guys that don't even own a bat. Five guys that walk up there empty-handed. Like Daisuke Matsuzaka. Remember, like, hey, don't swing.
Yeah.
They have five of those guys in the lineup today. So, yeah, Roman Anthony, he's probably going to hit another rocket ship at Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing that nonstop. And they're like, not ready.
No.
No spot for him. There's no spot for him. There's no spot for him?
Yeah, where could you put that guy?
Put him anywhere. Have him pick a spot.
So we said this earlier, Keith. Cotillo's hinting at like a big change on the off day tomorrow. He says it's not informed, I'm guessing. Cora's not in jeopardy now.
That's the wildest thing we've heard all day.
But you wonder if there's something. Roman, a big cut, a coach that could happen before Atlanta on Friday. If the Red Sox don't do it on Thursday, we may just have to go get the guy, Keith.
Like we'll go get him. We'll kidnap him.
We've been to Worcester before. We were there.
Love Worcester.
Best friends with Marcelo Meyer.
Our first moments on earth were in Worcester.
Sick brag, bro.
Really good friend of the show.
Yeah.
Our best friend.
Yeah.
Marcelo Meyer.
Sure. Our only friend, if we're being honest.
Ice may be my best friend. we may have
a lot of friends.
We may have to go get Roman
we'll
Anthony if the Red Sox don't do it.
Yeah, we'll kidnap him, and then we'll bring him to Fenway Park.
A Red Sox pride situation is what that would be.
It's a reverse the town. Instead of robbing Fenway Park, we will be bringing something to Fenway Park, a drop-off, a delivery to Fenway Park.
We're going to rob Polar Park.
Correct.
Yeah.
This is not f***ing around crew.
More of a kidnapping. We're going to be kidnapping a baseball player, and we're going to bring him to Fenway Park.
Yeah, but it's for the good of the team.
Relocation.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to be playing.
Yeah.
This lineup is comical. The lineup's recent. So, you know what's also...
Sox got rocked.
I was thinking about this, too, after... I think it might have been after Marcelo Meyer's second hit last night. It's like, if Bregman doesn't hurt his quad, Meyer's also still in Worcester.
No, it's pathetic.
They're both still down
the
there.
The only reason Meyer's here is because Bregman got hurt, which is... Like, I'm happy Meyer's here.
Sure.
But the circumstances are embarrassing.
They should have been teammates. He shouldn't have been his replacement.
They both should have been up like a month ago.
Yeah.
So anyway, Red Sox stats. I couldn't remember why I read this. Well, my guy, Red Sox stats, who I am currently
blocked.
Which I swear to God,
block you.
I swear to God, I've not had an incident with Red Sox stats.
That's not what I heard.
I used to read the man's tweets back in the day. The gal's tweets. I'm not even sure.
We don't know.
No, I don't know.
Who's to say?
I don't. Perhaps this is why they're offended.
It's a non-gender Red Sox stats.
I don't even see gender. And so I couldn't remember where I read this last night, but Nick said it was Red Sox stats, which apparently now you can read people you're blocked by.
That's Elon Musk.
Yeah,
you should thank him for that.
Thank you, Elon.
Because like everybody's blocking him.
The rest of the website doesn't work, but you can do that.
Yeah, that's true.
You're going to see my stuff anyway.
Shout out, Elon.
Yep.
He wrote a whole thing or cited a whole thing here. So basically the 172-day deadline where you keep these guys in AAA and they don't accrue enough service time towards a free agency year. So that used to be the only rule in the CBA. And so you'd have guys held out until the beginning of May. And we've seen all these prospects called up. We talked about Jordan Lawler with the Diamondbacks. The Cubs have called up a few different guys. The A's have called people up.
Mm-hmm.
So all these teams around baseball are calling people up. And you go, well, why the hell is Anthony still down there? You're not really manipulating service time. I was wrong about that. What they're trying to do is they're trying to prevent Roman Anthony from accruing enough stats, Keith, to be first or second in the Rookie of the Year voting. Okay?
He's too good. God forbid we use him now and the guy wins the Rookie of the Year. That'd really backfire.
A player who finishes first or second in AL or NL Rookie of the Year is awarded a full year of MLB service no matter when the call-up date happens. So they can call him up in August, and if he somehow wins Rookie of the Year in that short amount of time, he would accrue a year towards free agency. Players who accrue 1 year of service time by this method are ineligible for the PPI. I don't even pretend to know what that
PPI.
Is.
PPI.
So here are examples of players who did this. Michael Harris, won National League Rookie of the Year. He didn't make his major league debut until May 28th that year. He was retroactively awarded a full year of MLB service time. The others, Nick was right, Adley Rutschman finished runner-up in 2022, Tanner Bibee in 2023. Neither of them were on the opening day roster. They both came up later in the year. They finished second in Rookie of the Year. They accrued a year towards free agency, which is what the Red Sox are trying to manipulate and circumvent.
So Marcelo Meyer already, he's played in four games. he has the 9th best odds to win Rookie of the Year. Right? So it feels like on the one hand, you're like, oh, the guy hasn't, we haven't seen him. He should have been up sooner. It's still May, and I know they're, what, coming up on a third of the way through the season. But it's not like, you know, a football rookie class or even a basketball rookie class where you know there's already like X number of guys that are out there playing every day and starting. Like, that's not the case. Like, Christian Campbell, even with his massive slumps and his just, the guy's been a mess at the plate, I think he has the 7th best odds. You know what I mean? Like, he's not been very good. And so if Roman Anthony does get called up,
and they're not worried about it with Campbell because Campbell played ball on a contract. He already has his money, and so they're not worried.
But I'm just saying, like,
they're like, great, Christian Campbell win Rookie of the Year. We don't care about that. Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer.
No.
Like, imagine if they finish 1-2. That's the Red Sox nightmare.
That is.
That's the Red Sox worst case scenario, is that Anthony wins Rookie of the Year and Meyer wins is runner up
in play,
and they produce for the team and they win games, but they get one less year of control.
Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure if they win, they get a first round pick back because they called him up.
Yeah, there's all these stupid things.
I didn't read that far, but okay, I'll take your word for that on that.
But Rookie of the Year favorite right now is Jacob Wilson, the shortstop for the A's, who's hitting 348.
That guy's smoking it.
Six dongs. Yeah. So he's the favorite right now, but whatever, just needs to be top two.
A's, you idiots. Call him up and have him win Rookie of the Year, you dummies. That's why you guys never win anything.
They played in Sacramento.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
What were you telling me Alex Buehr wrote today?
Basically, according to Craig Breslow, they're having daily conversations. The Red Sox are daily conversations about when to bring up Roman Anthony.
How do you think that
every
goes?
Every day. Hey guys, you think we should bring up Roman Anthony today?
No.
He just hit another home run. No?
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Okay. Let's just go with what we have. Great.
Yeah.
David Hamilton's back in the lineup. Nick Sogard's in the lineup.
What do you do? He didn't hit another home run today, did he? Oh,
he
please.
Did.
God,
yeah,
he hit another home run. He did. Ah,
he
crap.
Socked another one.
Crap. We look like clowns for keeping him in Worcester. Damn it. All right, we'll meet again tomorrow. Hopefully he doesn't hit one tonight,
he's
guys, right?
You don't think he's going to hit another home run, do you? Yeah, probably. He's really good. So, yeah, daily conversations. Okay, we don't know how long the conversations last, but the answer so far has been no.
Our guy Brad Foe today, we'll talk to him tomorrow. His weekly appearance at 11:30.
That's right.
Baseball Isn't Boring, WEEI.com. You can check it out all over the Odyssey app as well. He says there isn't a human being in baseball, in the baseball world, who doesn't think Anthony is ready for his big league introduction.
Well, that's not true. The Red Sox, whoever's like Breslow, Cora.
No. They know he's ready.
Yeah, well.
They're just doing it, again, for the business and not for the baseball team, and they're content to lose games in the meantime. So that's a lot of fun.
Ay, ay, ay.
617-779-7937. George is in Warwick. Hello, George.
Hey, hi, guys. You know, I hope one of the things that they're not trying to finesse here is this compensation pick. If you're a top 100 listed on the top 100 players coming into the year, and you end up first or second in Rookie of the Year, you get an end of first round pick.
So that's what Nick was
and
just
so
talking
about. Yeah, and I hope they're not manipulating Roman Anthony's time, because, you know, what would they do? Push him out till July so he still is considered a rookie? I think midpoint July sometime would still have him retaining his rookie status next year. I don't know if that's what they're trying to do, but it's not smart.
Look, I don't blame ownership for much. I mean, I blame ownership for extending Cora. That was dumb. And I said that in real time. Like, they shouldn't have extended him. I didn't want him to stay the manager. You're stuck with him now. So that was dumb. I'll blame ownership for that. And I blame them for this. This I blame them for. And and maybe this is Breslow too, but my guess is when you're worried about years of control 7 years down the line and big ticket contracts, which Anthony and Meyer both could be in store for, that's what you're concerned about. This is the kind of stuff I'll blame ownership for. Most of the blame is on Cora. I blame Breslow for some of it. I mean, I mostly think Breslow had a pretty good offseason.
I got a Breslow quote you're going to like.
Oh, let's hear it.
All right, so Breslow spoke with Alex Speer of the Globe, and why has Roman Anthony not been called up yet?
Okay.
Pretty simple question.
Yeah. Well, the Red Sox, they hate wins, and they don't want to be successful, and they only care about their bottom line.
Perhaps,
I mean, is that the answer?
Perhaps,
what do you say?
But here's how Breslow answered that question. Quote, "Those are a few development opportunities that we want to make sure we lock in. Those are things the minor league schedule and training environment afford."
Oh, good.
"He does all these things well, but that doesn't mean there's not a chance to try to improve. It kind of sounds a bit like we're overly scrutinizing the performance, but he has a really high demands of himself."
Okay.
You're not saying anything.
He needs
you
to
brought up Christian Campbell.
No, he needs...
Campbell started the season, and you have him playing three different positions right now, and he's hitting in like eight different spots in the order.
And that guy barely played in AAA. He was fast-tracked more so than Anthony. If anybody wasn't ready and hadn't developed enough and wasn't seasoned enough, it's Campbell.
It's insane.
Nonsense.
It's ridiculous.
No,
all these examples on your own team year.
We called this out in real time. Campbell, maybe the third out of the three prospects, although coming into the year, I think he was ranked ahead of Meyer on a lot of these websites.
Yeah, maybe, Baseball but America, certainly not above Roman Anthony.
Okay, but the reason Campbell was here on opening day and those two guys were in AAA is because Campbell played ball on a contract and they didn't. And so it's all about manipulating service time, which is pathetic.
Which is great because that helps wins.
No, it's good. It's going very well for the big club right now.
Keep doing that, guys.
617-779-7937. If the Red Sox can't figure something out on the off day tomorrow, we may have to take matters into our own hands to get Roman
good
Anthony
gravy.
Here. Meantime, we got some other items we can discuss. Shams Charania, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. He went on McAfee. He promised big moves for the Celtics this offseason, which doesn't surprise us. He also promised perhaps the craziest offseason in the history of NBA offseason. So what's he talking about, and what does it mean for the Celtics? We'll get to it next.
This is the most, I think, anticipation team executives have had over an offseason. I think this is going to be the craziest offseason of all of I don't want to say all the time. We just came off a trade deadline. We just came off a trade deadline. I think what might have been, it was the craziest of all time. I think this offseason might be the most craziest ever. What you have right now is you have the parity
English
in the league.
English class sucks.
It's so thin right now. Like, as far as the thin line of where you can win a championship or you might be falling into the lottery. And I think the ability to go out there and improve your team and get there to championship level, I think that's on the minds of everyone around the league. So how can you elevate your team?
How was Shams yesterday on McAfee? And he's promising, or thinks it's in play, Keith, that we could have the craziest offseason in the history of offseasons.
Which is quite a claim. I mean, most offseasons I feel like are pretty crazy. There's been how many massive superstars have changed teams? I mean, just LeBron James himself, your favorite player.
Yes.
Has changed teams.
The show's GOAT, Keith. Let's refer to it properly.
Changes teams like he changes his underpants. Uh-huh. Like, he's hopping around. I mean, the decision to just when he and Bosch, going back to what was that, 2010, when he and Bosch left and went down to Miami, that on itself was insane, let alone all these other guys that have moved teams. Kevin Durant has moved teams multiple times. Kyrie Irving's moved teams multiple times. James Harden, like all these MVPs and Hall of Famers have moved teams. So if he thinks it's going to be like that, like, okay.
Well, and here's what's crazy about it. And this is just a random ESPN list. Kevin Pelton put together the top free agents out there.
All right.
Ready? And most of them just know they're not really free agents. Like, for instance, LeBron is number one on the list. But he has a player option. So he could opt in. And I think the latest reporting is he's expected to opt in. We'll see where that goes. James Harden, player option. Kyrie Irving, player option. Julius Randle, player option. Fred VanVleet, team option. So it's like, those are the top five free agents. None of them are really even free agents.
I wonder if the old guys, though, like, do they opt out and just re-sign bigger deals with their teams?
Probably.
I mean, so that's really not movement. I mean, Julius Randle probably would opt out and get more money, I would think.
But this is my point. If those are the biggest free agents, and, like, let's really even debate how big of free agents some of those guys really even are. Like, I mean,
LeBron and Harden were all NBA this year.
Those are big names, and you're right. They were both
second team.
LeBron was second team? And Harden was third team?
No, was Harden second team or third? I mean, they were both all NBA.
Whatever.
Way.
So maybe I'm shortchanging them. But I would say those aren't even like some of the biggest names in the sport. What I think we're talking about is Giannis potentially on the move. And let's see what Dallas does with the number one overall pick. And, oh, by the way, the Celtics are a massive wild card in this whole thing. Not that Porzingis and Drew Holiday are in the same bucket as Giannis and LeBron and even James Harden, but those are big names on a big team that could move. Like, I think the Celtics are right in the middle of what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think they have to be. Because I think, you know, Porzingis and Drew Holiday, even though their value isn't the same, those are big name guys. Those are, you know, all-stars, Olympians, and, I mean, NBA champions. So, like, those guys changing teams, I think, adds to it. But you would have to have somebody that is more in the top 10, top 15 players currently in the league, which those two are not.
No.
For it to really be considered a massive offseason. So, yeah, just LeBron was second team All-NBA. Harden was third team All-NBA. Randle wasn't on there, but Randle had a good year. And this is where, like, Giannis is going to change teams. Giannis was unanimous first team All-NBA. So this is like, all right, now you're getting in the conversation.
And he was third in MVP.
Right. So, like, him changing teams, especially with that guy who's been on the same team his whole career, it's more jarring than, like, Durant. Oh, Durant's on another team? Like, of course he is. But that's another guy. Like, so Giannis and Durant could change teams. The Celtics are going to have to peel off a couple of players. Obviously, it's a bigger fireworks if it's Jalen Brown. But even Holiday and Porzingis kind of create like a ripple effect. I know I'm the only one saying it, but I feel like the Dallas Mavericks might trade the number one pick.
No, look,
I think they could.
If he's talking about, and this is the top insider in the sport.
Yeah.
You know, Woj has gone to St. Bonaventure. Like, this is the guy in the sport. This is the info guy. And, yeah, I think when he's talking about a crazy offseason, I wouldn't rule out that Dallas could make a move with the number one pick. So, yeah, the one thing I'll disagree with Shams on is he's saying, well, teams see the parity and there's going to be another new champion this year. And I don't know that I would look at it that way. If OKC wins, and I would forecast them to win.
Yeah, they're the heavy favorite.
I already thought if the Celtics were healthy and they were healthy, OKC was going to win. They won 68 games. They had the best scoring differential in the league. They had one of the best scoring differentials in league history. So I would think OKC, with most of their roster intact, although they have an expensive roster, most of their roster intact, and a million first-round picks. I mean, they have tons of first-round picks coming out of their ears. I don't know that I would look at it as oh, we're a player away from jumping into the mix and contending with OKC, but maybe teams are looking at it that way. But when Shams is saying it could be the craziest offseason ever, I perk up a little bit because he just said the trade deadline last year was wild. Luka was on the move. Nobody saw that happening. And I think the Celtics are right in the middle of all of it, Keith.
Yeah, they definitely are. I think Oklahoma City will be the team that everybody's chasing next year, but I think you look around and you say, all right, well, Denver just took them to seven games. Who knows what's even in store in the potential Pacers finals? I feel like I harp on it, but a guy like Chet Holmgren is a bad foul away from going out, right? Like, I think there is certainly more parity now than there has been in years past. Like, there was a time where when you saw Durant with the Warriors, and if you weren't anywhere close to that, you're like, maybe we'll sit out.
Right.
Maybe, like, what's the point of like trying to be runner up to them? Everybody else probably feels like, especially if you go out and acquire somebody to the extent like Giannis or Durant or Jalen Brown, that you might feel like, all right, we can compete with Oklahoma City. Why not?
617-779-7937. What do you think Shams is talking about and what moves are up the Celtics' sleeve this offseason? Jalen Brown, a player he didn't rule out moving yesterday. Didn't say it was likely, but didn't rule it out. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch with Jones and Keefe on a Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll get to some Would You Rathers coming up at 11:30. It's a short program today. Red Sox pregame starts at 12:10 with Joe Weil. Keefe and I are going to stick around for a little bit of that. Red Sox first pitch at 1:10. Brian Baio, the vampire on the mound, out in the daylight. And I can't imagine that's going to go very well.
Not great.
Based on the way things are going for the Red Sox. We'll get to that. And let's get to Steph Diggs, his impact on the field, and the video circulating him with him on the boat yesterday. Keith, you seen this yesterday?
Oh, I've seen it.
I went through it.
Bookmarked it.
Zapruder style yesterday, let me tell you.
We got stone unturned.
We got thoughts on all of it next.